Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. With the Biden administration set to take the helm of the federal government in just over 6 weeks, educators and policymakers are pondering the changes that could lie ahead for the nation's public schools. Recently, the Hunt Institute at NC State, which is named for former Governor Jim Hunt, hosted a special discussion on this topic with former U.S. Secretaries of Education Margaret Spellings and Arnie Duncan, New York City Department of Education Chancellor Richard Carranza, and Miami-Dade County Public School Superintendent Alberto Carvalho. Spellings, who also served as president of the University of North Carolina system for 3 years, expressed hope that education can bridge the partisan divide between Republicans and Democrats in Washington.
I do think that education is a place where we can come together, and certainly there are urgent needs. So when I think about that short list of things that I'm worried about and hope that we'll see federal action on, I think about broadband ubiquity and the resources that we need to go with that. I think about just plain old support for state and local governments who are under serious financial strain, and certainly the Biden-Harris platform calls for additional federal resources. I think about a focus on educational loss at all levels, particularly, though, with our early learners and our pre-K students, so learning loss.
Spellings also suggested that a massive tutoring intervention might be required to help young learners make up for the knowledge many have lost while staying at home during the pandemic. A recent study estimated that there could be as many as 3 million marginalized students who have not received any formal education, online or in person, since the pandemic began.
And I think about recovering those 3 million or so students that were enrolled in school last spring and are no longer there on the rolls today. The other thing, the last thing I would say, is we know that as COVID is so linked to our economic recovery, that those alignments between our schools and workforce are critical. And so I think that will put high schools in sight, and those pathways, the kind of the words we eduwonks use around those things. But that's my short list. On the difference with the Trump administration, clearly I think charter schools will be out of fashion. And there's a lot of support, of course, in the union community for those changes. But anyway, as I look in my crystal ball, that's what I see. But I do think we'll all be busy, because I pray and I hope that education will be a place where we'll have bipartisan agreement.
Arnie Duncan served as the U.S. Education Secretary under Barack Obama from 2009 through 2015. Like Spellings, Duncan believes public education is an area that can help bring our divided nation closer together.
The level of divisiveness, obviously, now is, I think, stunning. And there are not too many better places than education to try and come together across geographies, across, you know, political differences or whatever it might be. We all have kids. We all want the best for our kids. We all want the best for our communities. We all want the best for our country. So if we want to try and stitch our country a little bit better together, I can't think of a better place to do it than in education.
New York City Department of Education Chancellor Richard Carranza said that from his perspective, the new administration is actually facing three pandemics.
One is a viral pandemic called COVID-19, which has exacerbated the inequities in our school systems, in our communities, that are decades, in some cases, generations old. They have been disproportionately impacted. But attendant to that viral pandemic is the economic pandemic, which has devastated our school budgets, our district budgets, our state budgets. And then the third pandemic is the long-awaited reckoning of racial inequity and systemic racism that all of us have been tackling for many, many years. There are three pandemics that I am very hopeful this new administration will embrace as a path and as a target going forward. So I totally agree that this is an opportunity for an educational new deal, if you will. Imagine the new normal post-COVID-19 being completely different from the pre-COVID-19 normal. And what will that look like? It'll look like we are dismantling systems of oppression in our schools by how students are admitted to schools, how students are selected, the opportunities they get. We will have truly bridged the technological and the connectivity divide. We will have invested in public schools not as an expense, but as an investment in the future. And think about how powerful it could be if we were able to leverage the wherewithal of our students, of our teachers, of our administrators, and move from punitive evaluation systems to truly formative systems that really promote best practices and better pedagogy. The last thing that I'll say is, I'd like for you to do two things, everyone that's listening, two very important things. Primeramente, quiero que saquen un lápiz y un papel. Quiero que escriban tres cosas que ustedes quisieran que el presidente de los Estados Unidos hicieran, y quiero que por favor lo apunten en el chat. Now, for some of you, I'm not trying to be rude, but for some of you that don't speak Spanish, welcome to the experience today of English language learner students across the country. And think about the fact that just because you may not have understood what I just said in Spanish, doesn't mean you're less intellectually capable, doesn't mean that you're less intellectually curious. It doesn't mean that you don't value your education. You just don't know the language of instruction. And you couldn't complete the task that I asked you to complete. I want us to be that grounded in our federal policy around the students and our most vulnerable students and our most vulnerable communities so that we don't forget them and what they're experiencing every single day. I'm incredibly optimistic, but I'm incredibly realistic about we can't let our foot off of the gas pedal to do right by our children.
And Miami-Dade County Public Schools Superintendent Alberto Carvalho believes that to move past the COVID crisis, the Biden administration cannot forget the millions of children living in poverty.
What began as a health crisis quickly became enveloped in a social racial issue in America that will usher in probably one of the worst economic recessions of our time that could dramatically injure public education. But we need to recognize that prior to the COVID crisis and its impact on children, we had literally millions of children already in crisis. And it was those in crisis to begin with that have descended into a lower level of crisis now. So I certainly am the eternal hopeful. And my hope for the incoming administration, based on their commitments of supporting educators by giving them the pay and the dignity that they deserve, by investing resources in schools and students to grow physically, educationally, psychologically, emotionally into the healthy adults we hope they will be, and allowing educators to focus on teaching, not just test preparation or the accountability road that they're often forced on, albeit important. Certainly ensuring that no child's future is determined by the zip code of birth. And I think that we all say that, but sadly, in many cases, that is still the case across America. Providing every single middle and senior high school student with a specific path that makes them viable and successful in the workplace, in society of today. And all important, considering the opportunity gaps that many of our kids fall into right from birth. Those opportunity gaps that become academic gaps that then become lifelong economic gaps. Let's make sure that, in fact, the promise of this new administration of investing heavily in early childhood education, high quality childhood education that begins not with kindergarten or pre-K, but begins at birth.
This week, North Carolina lawmakers learned that there are more than 51,000 fewer students enrolled in the state's traditional public schools this year compared to a year ago. Some parents elected to spare young children and themselves the stress associated with online learning. Others have opted to try homeschooling or have sent the kids to private schools. Educators predict the learning loss will cause the state's graduation rate and grade advancement rates to decline. Look for state legislators and incoming Superintendent Catherine Truitt to focus on addressing these challenges in January. Up next, a look at the growing food insecurity that plagues North Carolina and how you can help. Stay with us.